So, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when Christ's Apostle John writes, we know, he says this many times throughout that letter, the we refers to whom he is writing, those born of God, those who have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, those who are walking in the light, those who are loving one another. We know the things that John tells us because we are those to whom God has given us of his Spirit. And his Spirit bears witness to us, within us, that the gospel testimony to Jesus the Christ is true. And again, as we read from 1 Corinthians 2, God tells us that the natural person, one not born of God, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. But we, born of God by his Spirit, we accept the things of the Spirit of God. We accept the Spirit's inspired gospel's testimony to Jesus the Christ. And we know that by believing in the Son of God, we have life eternal. So when John tells us his purpose in writing this letter is so that we may know certain things, he's speaking of things only we Christians know. Other people may know about them, but we know them. We believe them. They impact our lives. They're settled truth. And so the things that we know, you must know to be a Christian. You can't really claim to be one born of God, can't really claim to be in fellowship with God through his Son, can't rest in the assurance of having eternal life unless you know these things. But we, born of God, we know these things. We are convicted of these things. Our lives are transformed by knowing these things, that we know that all the benefits of God's love manifested in Christ incarnate are ours. We know. John said, chapter 4, "In this the love of God was manifested among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." And John then writes, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And as we, born of God, confess, hopefully this rings a bell in your mind, true faith is not only a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also a hearty trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, that not only to others but to me also forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. We know because of God. This knowing Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, crucified, who is the propitiation for our sins, as John has told us, who was resurrected, who was ascended, who will come back and we will see him as he is, for we will be as he is. This knowing is not just a knowing about, but it's knowing that Jesus Christ in a way that impacts our lives. We see the evidence of knowing him by our transformed lives. And that knowing him is critical to living the assured life of faith through all these trying, tempting, suffering circumstances of this present life in this sin-corrupted world. So to keep knowing, to keep living in the assured certainty, in this hearty trust of this life-directing mindset, which is grounded in knowing Jesus the Christ, that he is true God, that requires that we continue to know him, to abide in what we know from the gospel, what we believe, what we confess. And that's why John ends this letter with these words: "Little children, keep yourself or guard yourself from idols. Guard yourself so that you do not allow something other than the only true God to occupy the place in your esteem, in your affections, in your thoughts and behaviors and worship, in your dependence, in your reliance, in your devotedness. Don't allow anything else to take the place which is due only to the Lord God, Jesus Christ. Guard yourself. That's the pastoral warning that John gives us at the very end of this letter. You know, it's interesting to note that these may be actually the, this letter was written at the end of the revelation of God. And so these are last words. Guard yourself against idols. And he writes, amen. Let it be so. And we should remember that as John writes this letter, we looked at this quite a while ago, there are those in John's day, there were those who did claim to believe in the Jesus Christ proclaimed by his apostles, who were eyewitnesses to him, to Jesus Christ. But then these people left the fellowship of believers to follow a Jesus designed by the minds of men, not renewed by the gospel, not in submission to God's own revelation of Jesus. And those false teachings that they left to follow, they were not from God, John tells us. They were not by his Spirit through the apostles, but they were by the spirit of this world, teaching a Jesus you could claim as your own, even as you continue to live a sinful, lust of the flesh, worldly, self-centered kind of life. That Jesus was an idol. And this Jesus of man's sinful, arrogant speculation, again, was an idol. And listen, trusting, following, devoting yourself to an idol as a substitute for the Jesus Christ of the gospel is a deadly deceit if you think that through this idol you have everlasting life. So guarding yourselves against idols, not allowing yourselves to deviate from what you know to be the truth, what we know to be the truth, means what? We may not allow anything into our lives that occupies the place that should be occupied by Jesus Christ, by God alone. Nothing may be allowed into our lives that takes his place. Fairest Lord Jesus, to abide in the we know, as John sets those we knows before us, is to not allow anything other than Jesus Christ to have lordship over your life. That's what that means. Because if something other than Jesus Christ is Lord over your life, something or someone in which you place your trust, something you cling to, something that you treasure, something that you value, something that you love, something that you devote your life to more than to Jesus Christ, that something other is your idol. Now, we read through these last verses, and we've read through all of 1 John. At first glance, John's final words, this warning to guard ourselves from idols, might seem to kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, John hasn't used the word idol throughout this whole letter, so why is idolatry his final concern for us whom he loves? But when you read the entire letter, it's really a perfect summary of his message. Because just a few verses back, John has said, as we mentioned already, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, abiding in what you know as gospel truth is the antidote to keeping yourself from idols. Abiding in what you know, abiding in Jesus the Christ, testified to by the apostles, and abiding in what you know about all the benefits that are yours in Jesus Christ, who God is, what he's done for you in Jesus Christ, what he is still doing for you in Jesus Christ, what his destiny for you is in Jesus Christ. That's how you guard yourself so you don't allow yourself to be deceived with, and we're all prone to because of our earthly weakness and due to our remaining sinful flesh that clings to our mortal bodies. We're all prone to idolatry. But this truth that we know, that John sets before us so often, we know, it's the antidote to allowing yourself to fall into idolatry. And we're prone to it. We know that. Because, well, in our earthly weakness, and sometimes allowing ourselves to trust in our human reasoning, Well, idols can justify our sinful conduct. Well, Jesus Christ, the gospel wouldn't, but this God that I make up would. Idols promote the drive that's so common in every age, and certainly true in our age, the drive for health and wealth and selfish ambition and the it's all about me mindset. And idols, they promoted Jesus, who is not a God of holiness, set apartness and righteousness, a Jesus whom you can claim without being his disciple, without taking every thought captive to obedience to him. That's what idols do for us. And so we're prone to say, hey, that's I like that. That's our old man speaking. So not guarding ourselves from idols is to let ourselves fall back into the idolatry which is natural to our fallen nature. The idolatry from which Jesus Christ rescued us. So John warns us. It's a pastoral warning. Guard yourselves from it, from idols. And what's the way to guard yourself from idols? It's to keep hearing the gospel. And then continually to be preaching it to yourselves. To preach to yourselves what you know, what we know to be the truth. This is the kind of God God is. And as I abide in him and his promises, they're all fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the one who I abide him, the one who is true God. No matter how things might seem to me, no matter the temptations of this world that I face, no matter my weakness, no matter my circumstances, only as you and I keep abiding in the God we know, testified to by the gospel and by his Spirit within us, may we live in the assurance of eternal life, of glory to come when this present world passes away, and it will. So guard yourselves from idols. That's what John's pastorally concerned for at the end of this letter. Guard yourself from idols. You know, John wrote in his gospel, chapter 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. No eternal life in any idol, only in him who is true God. So John's message throughout this whole letter is all about believing in the apostles' testimony to the God who is, the God to whose revelation by way of Jesus Christ they were eyewitnesses to. And it's only by believing in that Jesus Christ that you have life. John's letter is all about the assurance of having eternal life. He says, I write these things so you may know, as you believe in the Son of God, you do have eternal life. It's all about the joy of fellowship with God and the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the experience, the fullness of his joy as you live that Spirit-directed new creation life that is yours in Christ. And no substitute can provide it. It's yours only as you abide in the sure knowledge of your professed Christian faith. We know, we know, we know. Which requires John's pastoral warning, guard yourselves from idols. So let's look at these last three we knows of John's that are in those last verses and see how they serve to keep us guarding against idols, as is John's concern for us. Well, here's the first of these last threes we know. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. So John is saying, and this is really, he's summarizing, he said these same things similarly in his letter, that as we are born of God by Spirit, we cannot live in a state of continual practicing sinning. Sin can't be characteristic of us who are born of God. Why? Because we are born of God. His seed remains in us, John had said. We have a new nature. John had already said back in chapter 3, the one who practices righteousness, in other words, that's characteristic of our lives. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as God is righteous. The one who practices sin, in other words, living in sin, is of the devil. It's clear. And yes, it's true. John has told us that as well, that we born of God can and do fall into sin at times because our sinful flesh still clings to our mortal bodies. But we cannot be practicing sin. What do we do as we're born of God? We repent of our sin. We turn towards righteousness because God, the righteous, abides in us, born of him. If we were still to be practicing sin, in other words, if that was characteristic of our lives, like that of the world, that would mean that the devil one, that the evil one, the devil, still held us captive to his power of sin and death. That's what that would mean. But he can't. He can't because the one born of, begotten of God, that is Christ Jesus, protects us, keeps us out of Satan's clutches. Now, we read this passage from the New King James, and that translation puts the emphasis for keeping from Satan's clutches on us believers. And although John does give us the responsibility of guarding ourselves, and Paul talks in Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God, and James also speaks of the responsibilities we have, we could not be guarding ourselves if God were not sovereignly persevering us by working in us to will and to do. And it's clear from Jesus' high prayer that we read part of that Jesus is the keeper of us. He's the guardian of all that the Father has entrusted to him. And so, beloved, let's make sure that we understand that our assurance of eternal security does not rest in our keeping ourselves, but in Christ Jesus keeping us from Satan's grip. And he does so by the means such as John gives us here. Guard yourselves. Make use of the means of grace. Now think about how this truth that we can't continue in sin, can't keep practicing it, that Jesus keeps us from the grip of the evil one. Think of how that verse of number 8, verse 18, guards us from idols. See, if you are being tempted to fall into sin, and who isn't? If you're tempted to conform to the world's ungodly standard in some aspect of life, and it's a reality. We're all tempted to conform to the world. It's easier. If you're tempted to covet what God has not deemed to give you, if you're tempted to listen to the devil as he whispers, go ahead, you deserve it. He says, you know you can't resist giving into self-pity because you're weak. When in your trying circumstances, or if you want to justify your sinful act by saying, well, the devil made me do it, or everybody does it, if that's a temptation that comes upon all of us, what do you do as one born of God? Well, you say, I know that Jesus Christ is protecting me from the clutches of Satan. I am the seed of the righteous God. I am enabled by Christ strengthening me to do what is pleasing to God. And by watching and praying, by putting on the armor of God, I know I can resist the idolatry of making God the kind of God who doesn't care about my sin, doesn't empower me to resist it, doesn't sustain me in life's battles against the spiritual forces of darkness. See, that'd be idolatry to think that way. But we know, we're born of God. We're not able to practice sin, and Christ keeps us from the grip of Satan. How assuring is that? How helpful is that when you're living in this world? To remind yourself of these, we know this. I know this. You know this. We know that by abiding in the knowledge of the truth, Jesus the Christ, abiding in his love, abiding in his power, his always being with you, that guards against your letting a substitute take the place in directing your life. That directing your life belongs only to Jesus the Christ. So that's the first we know. The second we know of our text, again, is a summary of John's message. It's just, we know that we are from God. He said that before. And we know that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So he's making this contrast for us. We know who we are, and we know what the world is like. We know why it is the way it is. It's under the power of the evil one. And what has John said earlier? Do not love the world, nor the things in this world. And he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a reality. We know this to be true of us if we are born of God. So don't love the world, because it's under the sway of the evil one. John does not allow us to think that as Christians we are allowed to act as though we are yet of the world. You can't be born of God in the arms of Jesus and in the arms of the world, which is under the sway of the devil, at the same time. You can't. So to love the world, as John has already talked about that, to love the world is to be devoted to that which is passing away, to that which is perishing. We know as those born of God by his Spirit, we know that we are from God. We are destined for God. We are journeying to see him, to be with him, to be like Jesus Christ. That's what we know. And we know, Galatians 1 says, Christ gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age. We're not of it. We don't belong to it. We're not of the world. And Colossians 1 says, we have been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's a reality. We are of God. We don't belong to the world. And so, beloved, our thoughts, our minds should be set on the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and not on earthly things. And that's such a temptation to us to love earthly things, to be devoted to earthly things, to pursue them, to be devoted to them. But fairest Lord Jesus, let us be devoted to him. Let us not give in to idolatry. See, God separated us out of the world to be his. I mean, he purchased us to be his with his Son's precious shed blood. It's idolatry to think of God, to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's okay to conform to the world, to conform in some aspect to the world and its standards and its priorities and its goals. Guard yourself against that. Because you know we are not of the world. You know it's from the gospel. We know it. God has made us his. We are no longer the devil's children. We know this. And we need to keep ourselves in the hearing of this truth and preaching it to ourselves so our lives reflect it to the glory of God and makes us useful witnesses of Christ's transforming, life-transforming power to the world that is perishing. So that's the second of the we knows. We're not of the world. And the third one is this: we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is true God and eternal life. We know this. The gospel tells us that. We know this because the Spirit of him who had the gospel written confirms its truth within us, as John says. We have the testimony within ourselves, because we have been given of the Spirit of God. See, the apostles of Christ, they came to know that Jesus the Christ is true God and is eternal life. How did they know it? They knew it because Christ's Spirit gave them that inward convicting testimony that what Jesus said about himself was true. They didn't grasp it at first, but once Christ was ascended and poured out his Spirit, then they got it. Then they were convicted. What he said was true. And what did Jesus had said to them, his apostles? He said he was equal with God the Father, his deity. Jesus is God, come in the flesh. He said he had the power to give life to whoever he chose. He's the author of life. If you want to have life, it's only in him. He said he was the resurrection and the life. And he claimed in John chapter 5 that on the day of judgment, those in the tombs would hear his voice and come forth either to the resurrection, to the fullness of life in him, which is in heaven, or to resurrection of the condemnation, which is unto eternal death, hell. We know these things. John tells us that we know that the Son of God has come. That's Christ incarnate, Jesus the Christ. He's come. and has given us understanding so we know him who is true. See, again, that understanding is given to us by God's Spirit as we're born of God. The Spirit gives us understanding of spiritual things which the natural man cannot receive. It's foolishness to him. But to us, he gave us understanding by pouring out his faith-working Spirit into us, the body of Christ, us born of God, who are the living stones of God's household that will be with him forever. See, the Spirit of Christ, Jesus said this about him before he ascended. He said he would be the other comforter who would lead us into all truth. The truth being the true God, most fully revealed as Jesus the Christ. See, the Holy Spirit always leads us to Christ, to believe in him as the apostles testified to him, to be the true God, to be life. That's why we must continue to abide only in him. Fairest Lord Jesus, I need thee every hour. We have to abide in him not just with our minds, which we have to do. His truth should renew our minds. We know. It should give us that mindset of trusting in him. But we need to know him also by the evidence of our transformed lives to be assured that, yes, we have fellowship with God because we're walking in the light. Yes, we have eternal life because our lives demonstrate that our trust is in him. We follow him. John had already said earlier, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And again, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. See, we know him, the true God. We know we are of him, the true God. We know he keeps us out of the grasp of the devil. We know that we can do all things that the true God calls us to do through Christ who strengthens us, as Paul writes in Philippians. We know we're not of the world. We know that we've been given eternal life in Jesus Christ. We know. But if you and I allow ourselves to drift away from being gripped, directed, focused on these great redeeming truths, we know we will, in effect, be idolaters. That's our default mode. And then we'll live our lives according to our sinful conception of God, driven by the desires of our flesh. And Satan will be smiling until God, in some way, so to say, smacks us upside the head, if we are indeed his, and we again pursue life that is fitting for what we Christians know. But our responsibility, as John tells us, to guard, keep ourselves from idols. And again, how do we do that? Can't emphasize it enough. We preach to ourselves and to one another what we know and are convicted by the gospel and the Spirit to be true. That's how Christ keeps us. We stay abiding in the we know. So do you see then how fitting a conclusion to his entire message are John's final words? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And he says, amen. So, beloved, keep abiding in the Jesus Christ you know as one born of God and brought to saving faith by his Spirit. Guard yourself by always abiding in him who is true God, the way and the life, Jesus Christ, the one you know from the gospel through his Spirit. We know. Use that to guard yourself from idols. Amen.